Well, good morning, folks. It's nice to be back with you here. We love coming up. It's a lovely fellowship. Everybody's so friendly so far. It's good to see you. We are going to worship God together. We're going to start with a hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And we're just going to stand and commit ourselves to the Lord as we worship Him. How deep the Father's love for us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Precious words. Let's bow our heads now. We commit our way to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You so much that You indeed have set Your love upon Your creation, upon humanity, that You would condescend to send Your word in human flesh into this earth, knowing, Lord, what our sin, our wickedness, our fierceness, Father, would do to Your Son. But Lord, also in retrospect, we know exactly that He took that upon Himself your punishment upon him for our sin. Lord, how can we ever, ever, ever begin to repay you? But we can't, because it's all a gift of grace and mercy. Father, we thank you for Jesus this morning. We thank you, Lord, for that Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, knowing, Father God, that it was our sin individually and collectively that nailed him to the cross. But Father, we want to thank you that the sinless Lamb of God rose on the third day. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And he who knew no sin rose from the dead to bring hope and expectation to those of us who believe. Father, we thank you for that gift of faith this morning that raises our hopes far beyond any expectation that our imaginations could begin to imagine or conceive. We thank you, Lord, that one day we will all who know Jesus willingly bow the knee and confess him before you, Father, as Lord. And Father, that will be a willing thing for us to do, because we thank you so much for our salvation. Lord, we want to commit our way to you today. We commit this time together. We thank you that, Lord, as we surrender our lives afresh to you, that you forgive us our sin as we confess it this morning, that nothing be between us and you but worship and love and adoration. Father, accept the words of our songs, Lord, not just as words, but as heartfelt thanks. We commit our way to you now, asking, Lord God, that your presence would be with us. It is within us, but Lord, collectively, your presence would be here, Father, and that you would be pleased with our worship and our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand again and sing Before the Throne of God Above. Before the Throne of God Above. Amen.
Unchangeable I am.
There's no children going to be disappearing this morning. Good. I'm going to turn now to a reading, which is Psalm 85. I have a confession to make. When Norman asked if I would come and preach, I said, Lord, what, and this is about 3 weeks ago, Lord, what do you want me to preach on? And he said, Psalm 85. It was as clear as anything. I read Psalm 85 and I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach on? I've never found such a difficult psalm to try and consider preaching on, because it's all self-explanatory. You either get it or you don't. However, out of it, I've got three other sermons, so however today goes, we'll find out. But Psalm 85, we'll start with that. And I'm reading from the King James Version. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, and the glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go forth before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Amen, and may God bless the reading of his word and the preaching. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that you know all about this fellowship here in Fraserburgh. Lord, you know each and every person sitting here this morning. You know each and every person and their families. You know what goes on behind closed doors. And Lord, you know what goes on in each and every mind. All the considerations, all the things that are thought about, and even where the mouth opens and all the things are discussed. Father, you know them all. And you say we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Father, I just lift up every family before you. And Lord, those who are outside the kingdom at this moment in time, we do pray for them, Father, that you would just remove that veil from their eyes, that you would remove that stubborn heart, that you would remove, Father, all the hurts that have prevented them from following you. Father, as you bring forgiveness to them through Jesus Christ, may they bring forgiveness to any hurts, any anxieties, anything that they felt would keep them out of the kingdom. Father, we just commit them to you. We commit this fellowship of your people too. Father, let it be outgoing. Let it be forward-looking. Let the trust be in you and not in anything that they can do of themselves. Lord, let this work here, at this Baptist church, be one of your doing. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's Jesus' words. And Father, we do pray that you would indeed just build up your kingdom through your people here, at this fellowship of your people. And Lord, give them a boldness. Fill them afresh, Father God, with your Holy Spirit, that the holy boldness, as seen in the beginning of Acts at the start of the church, would fill this place. And that, Father God, as they go out, there would be no fear. There would be no reticence to speak your word. That, Father God, the people that they encounter would just be ripe and ready for your kingdom. Because Jesus said the fields are white already unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Lord, just bless this fellowship of your people. Help them in all their endeavors, both for you and also work situations, home situations. Father, wherever they meet people, may they be a blessing. Help them to stretch out, to lengthen the cords, to strengthen the stakes. Lord, just expand your kingdom here in Fraserburgh. Lord, we just thank you for this town. Thank you, Lord God, for everyone that's living in this place. They're not here by accident. They're here by your divine will and purpose. So, Lord, just allow your Holy Spirit come and bring a conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And Father, we think of our own country, we think of our own nation today, just broken and falling apart. And it's broken and fallen apart because we have abandoned you. We have said that we don't want you. We don't want God in our land. Father, those that have made these decisions, Lord, we bring them before you and ask, Lord, that somehow or another you would just turn things around in this land. Bring hope. Bring your peace. Bring a future. Lord, we think of the people that have been killed, murdered, knifed, stabbed over this last 3 or 4 weeks. Father, we do pray that in your grace and in your mercy, you would come again into this land because you have a people that want you here. We want you here. We want you in Fraserburgh. We want you in Scotland. We want you in the UK. We want to praise and worship you because that's our heritage, Father. The words went forth 500 years ago, let the blood of the martyrs be the seed of your church. And Lord, just let that be the case today. Just allow your seed to grow. Father, we think of those in the, associated with the fellowship here who are ill, sick, recovering. Father, those two maybe too infirm to get out now to come to church. Father, we lift them before your throne of grace and mercy. And Lord, your word says that you never abandon us. You're always with us. You've promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. So we lift them before your merciful throne and ask, Father, that you would indeed work in their lives to bring them your peace and your love and your mercy. We just thank you, Father, so much for them. And we commit our way to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again, Revive Us, Lord. And let this be our prayer. Revive us. Sometimes we can be so used to coming to church on a Sunday, it just becomes a ritual and a routine. But as we sing this, just let our hearts melt before the Lord and let it be a prayer. Revive us, Lord.
Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. The Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us, Lord. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Oh, revive us.
That should put some fire in us. Let's pray. Father God, we just commit this word of Psalm 85 to you. Lord God, just help me as I speak it. Father, take away anything that's wrong, any error, But Lord, just help us, bless us, strengthen us through this psalm of revival, this psalm, Father God, that is asking you to bring us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the first things that I stumbled at in looking at this psalm was that it was written for the sons of Korah. Now, everybody knows who Korah is, don't we? Yes. Korah was a Levite, and he was part of the Levites that were asked to look after the vessels of the tabernacle as the tabernacle was moved from one place to another. The family duty there was to carry all the utensils and portable things. Other families of the Levites got a cart to carry the heavy stuff, the tent, the poles, and everything else. But the Korahites, they had to carry everything. And I think that Korah himself was getting a bit fed up. Why should Moses and Aaron have all the praise and the glory and all the leadership? Things just haven't changed. Everybody wants to be a boss. Okay, that didn't go down too well. Everybody wants to be a boss. Nobody wants to be the laborer. Anyway, they didn't want to be laborers either. And Korah and some of the other leaders of families got together and rebelled. But although they thought they were rebelling against Moses and Aaron, they weren't rebelling against them. They were rebelling against God himself. So there were 250 in this rebellion. And Moses fell on his face and prayed. And I love the way that prayers are always answered so quickly in the Bible. So he got up and he said, "Tomorrow morning, fill your censers, come down to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and we will ask God who he wants to lead the people." Some of them reneged, some of them cooled off, some of them just got scared and didn't go. But Korah and his close friends, they arrived at the tabernacle with their censers filled. Moses and Aaron were there. And this happens in rebellions, folks, and this will happen in our nation as well to all who's rebelled against God. God said to Moses and Aaron, "Step back." So they step back. "Tell the people to move back." So the people move back. God opened the earth and they fell into hell in the flesh. Bodies, everything, tents, everything that they owned went into the abyss alive. What a punishment. But in some cases, that isn't technically true. The story is in Numbers 26, and you can find it in maybe 4 verses 9 to 11. But in verse 11, it said, God spared the sons of Korah. God, in his grace and mercy, saw what was ahead for them. For whatever reason, they were not part of the rebellion, and they were spared. Now, this was on my mind. Sons of Korah, who are they? Korah was cast into hell with all his family, as I thought. Anyway, the sons. went through several generations. And they went as far as the prophet Samuel. We've all heard the prophet Samuel. We've all read our Old Testament. Prophet Samuel was a Korahite. The sons of Korah, they went with David into various battles and made a name for themselves as warriors for the Lord. But principally, they were involved in the choirs in the tabernacle and the orchestras within the tabernacle. They were also involved in the singing in the tabernacle. And David went to great lengths to get rotas going for singers, that there would always be singing to God coming from the tabernacle. And they did it in shifts and in relays, singing all the time. David made out the rotas. So they were part of the worship of God. They were also part of the procession, part of the elaborate organization that was taking place to return the tabernacle, not the tabernacle so much as the Ark of the Covenant, back into Jerusalem that had been captured by the Philistines much, much, much earlier, and had been taken back by the Philistines because they were being cursed by God's presence in their pagan temples. They wanted rid of it. It landed up in this farm, and it was there for 20 years, blessing the farmer and all his family and his crops and everything else. So they were part of that elaborate organization bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Lay aside the second sermon that I got out of all this. What I found interesting was, how many of us are here today, I think me included, are here because of some member or members of the family, maybe in some distant past, that were worshiping God and pleasing to God in their past. And God, down through the generations, has blessed, maybe not all, but some of God's people in the past, because they kept the covenant of God. I know many of my ancestors from, I think my youngest son went into the family history, started, was it 1495 or something? But anyway, in the 16th, 17th, and 18th century, were all involved in church life in one way or another, Strichen, New Deer, that area. Anyway, it's just a thought, but you're maybe here because someone in the past pleased God and prayed for the family. Anne's praying just now for her grandchildren and who they're going to marry. Now, the youngest one's 3. The oldest girl is 13 and the oldest boy is 18. So she's been praying faithfully since they were in the womb for their partners. You just never know. In the past, we can take things for granted, but in God's economy, you just don't know things. Anyway, that aside, that was the sons of Korah. Now we get on to the fact that Psalm 85 is a psalm that's written for revival in God's people. The psalm was written, I think, by David to the sons of Korah. But there's nothing in the psalm that says to whom it was written, to the circumstances whereby it was written. It's an open book. And an open book includes us as well, here 3 millennia later. What does God say? He says that you've been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the sin, the iniquity of your people, and you have covered their sin. You have taken away all your anger. You've taken away the fierceness of your anger. It's one thing that it was COVID for me that really brought it home to me, just how serious God takes sin. With time to think about things, and just it was partly life changing for me during COVID, just the way that God spoke and the way I saw God and his attitude towards sin. It's totally repugnant. It is just horrendous for God to he won't condone sin. It's horrendous for him to see sin, to hear sinful things. Totally against his holy nature. Because I used to ask the Lord, used to, still do, but still don't understand it all. Lord, what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be righteous? See, I was telling Anne the other day, I can go down and I can start praying, and within 3 seconds, I'm 300 million miles away, somewhere in outer space, and thinking, how did I get here in such a short time? And we rely on God's mercy, we rely on his forgiveness, and we just thank him all the more that he dealt with our sin in Jesus Christ. He's dealt with it. It's gone. I remember my early days. I was brought up an atheist. But my early days as a Christian, when I wanted to go to church, but I was too proud to say to Anne, let's go to church. And I didn't know what had happened to me, really. I was reading the Bible for the very first time. But I remember reading this article somewhere of this nun. And she was walking along the seashore, and she had her habit up to her ankles, and she was kicking the water. And she heard God say, pick up the water in your hand. So she stooped down, scooped up the water in her hand. He says, now throw it over your shoulder. She threw it over her shoulder. He says, now turn around and pick it up. Of course, she couldn't. That's what I've done with your sin. What a wonderful God we have. He doesn't remember our sin. He doesn't remember it at all. And you know, we can punish ourselves with regrets. We can punish ourselves with our memories. We can punish ourselves with things that we've done in the past that we strongly regret. But God would say, don't know what you're speaking about. It's in the sea of my forgetfulness. Let's forgive ourselves for those things that we bring up from the past. The past are gone. You can't change it. You can't do anything else with it. So let's not punish ourselves unnecessarily with it. So Psalm 85, the Lord is merciful and gracious to us. And it says that he didn't consider their sin. He turned to fierceness. Five times it says, thou hast. And five times it speaks about his anger, the fierceness of his anger. And they're saying, will you be angry to all generations? Is this anger of you? See, we don't know the circumstances why this psalm was written. We don't know the circumstances. They're saying, you're going to keep your anger going forever and ever. See, could have been times where, and I don't think so, the rebellion of Absalom against his father David. It could have been the return or the captivity into Babylon. That's a fair bit, mentions nothing of that. Could have been the times when the people just really chived with Moses going through the wilderness. Or it could be the 585 years of time when the judges were judging Israel. Israel followed God, God sent enemies to occupy them or to hold over them, and then they would repent, come back to God, and then the whole cycle would start again. 13 judges in their history because they fell from God and fell from his grace because of sin. So we don't know what this is, but it can apply to us today. He's the God of our salvation. He's the God who brings back his love, his concern, his mercy and his grace to us. We can see here in verse 6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Have mercy, O Lord. Show us your mercy, grant us your salvation. And then someone comes up and says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not return to their folly. See, as long as we are following God, his grace and his mercy is our portion. But as soon as we get apathetic, lethargic, forget him, what's he going to do? He's not going to stop loving us, but his grace is just withdrawn. He hasn't withdrawn it, we've withdrawn it because of our attitude, because of our sin, because of our whatever's going on in our lives. But this, when they wrote this psalm, whoever wrote it, if it was David or not, had no knowledge of the coming Messiah. But if it's in God's word, there's a purpose for it. And let's have a look at the Messiah here. Surely his salvation is near them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. That's what's missing in our land today. Salvation is near them that fear him. And we still have people that fear God, but his glory is not in our land. Then we come to verse 10. This is the verses I love. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Mercy and truth met together. Where there's truth, there's mercy. Where there's truth, there's mercy. If you're walking in the truth, if you're walking in the light of Jesus, there's mercy. they meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I don't have any righteousness in myself. Jesus is our righteousness. He's also our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but my peace I give unto you that the world cannot give. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So mercy is Jesus. Truth is Jesus, and they meet together. In fact, there are 6 occasions in the Psalms where it speaks about mercy and truth meeting together. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. I wonder if the psalmist ever wondered what he was writing. But what do we think of this? Truth shall spring out of the earth. 3 days later, truth came out of the earth, revived, resurrection life. Where is he now? By the Father's right hand, righteousness is looking down from heaven. He's looking down on us here this morning. Holy Spirit's within, righteousness and truth are looking down upon us. Thank you, Lord. And then it says, the Lord shall give that which is good. That's his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord will give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. God has not finished with Scotland. God has not finished with the UK. I wouldn't like to be in the wrong side of God the way things are going. But we need to keep on following God, reading our word every morning. Subtle hint. Praying every morning. Double hint, right? Because tell you folks, that's the way we're going to survive, because the battle is going to get far worse than it is now as Christians. And many Christians are falling away, they're going by the wayside because they haven't prepared themselves for what's ahead. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Because in the end, we're going to see him face to face. What a day. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we see our Savior face to face. Anything less doesn't bear thinking about. And I haven't got halfway through my notes. And it's time to stop. And I will stop here. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father God, we want to praise and thank you for your kindness and your mercy to us. And Lord, if there's any here this morning that needs a special touch from you, Lord, as we wait upon you, just come and meet them where they're at. Lord Jesus, you know what's going on in their lives. And I do pray, Father God, that you would indeed come and just be a blessing to them. Deliver them, Father God, from their fears. Forgive them, Father God, for their wanderings. Lord, come and show yourself, God, once again in their lives. If things have slipped, just through habit. Lord, just bring revival. That's what this psalm is all about. Just bring revival, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn, Amazing Grace. Let's stand and sing. It is amazing, is it? Amazing Grace. It's only grace that brings us here. Let's stand and sing.
Sweet.
Lord, may our relationships with you be widened, solidified. Father, our love and our devotion to you intensify, that by your grace, Father, we will lead many through our witness to you. In Jesus' name, amen.